This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We appreciate you being with us this afternoon. Let's talk about the YouTube live chat poll for today. You can go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote and tell us who is more unlikable, Trump or Harris. I find it interesting, as much as I don't love to play Kamala Harris's voice in the show, I just don't prefer it in general. And, you know, I'll say Donald Trump's voice isn't like music to my ears either. Neither one of them are, you know, Barack Obama has a way of delivering you and capturing you and bringing you in. There was a time where Bill Clinton certainly did as well. Ronald Reagan had that smooth, smooth voice also. I'm not really feeling that with either of these candidates, but Kamala Harris, like, I don't even have clips from Kamala Harris. She's not out talking. She's not out saying anything. Peter Ducey got her to say, asked her, like, said something about congratulations about a great DNC as she was passing through the hallways in DC, I think it was. And Peter Ducey said, when are you going to do your Fox interview? And she like looks over her shoulder as she continues to walk and she says, I'm working up to it.
Yeah, sometime in December.
I thought it was a stupid way to respond. I mean, like, I'm working up to it. How long does it take?
Yeah, and compare yourself to the guy across the aisle from you and see how long it takes him to work up to doing it. Any interview or talking about anything.
The conversation right now about the September 10th debate, which if you go to 971talk.com/events, you can reserve your free tickets to our Dave and Buster September 10th debate watch party. We would love to have you there. They sold out pretty quickly last time, and we had, they're free. I sold out. They were all reserved pretty quickly, and we had a lot of people trying to get in, and we did not have room for folks. So I'm not 100%. I haven't asked today how close it is to selling out. But please, we'd love to have you come out there, fill that room with Annie Fry Show listeners, but get your spot reserved. 971talk.com/events doesn't cost you a thing. They're talking about now Kamala Harris wants her camp wants the microphones to be on the entire time. It's like, it was your rule last time to have them off. Is it possible that they wanted that last time to protect Joe Biden? And not to keep Donald Trump at bay? I mean, everybody kind of assumed that they were trying to keep Donald Trump from being the rude, interrupting arse that he could traditionally be. And I was always thinking, like, I don't think this hurts Trump.
No.
If this keeps Trump at bay, that makes me happy. Is there some sort of way that muting these microphones kept Joe Biden more protected? Because now Kamala Harris is like, they should be hot. The microphone should be hot.
No, I think they were comparing the Trump-Biden debate from 2020 to what they thought this one would be and thinking, you know, that was just a steamroll and nothing came of it. And I think they said, let's try to make it an actual debate and let's stop Trump from being Trump. Because anything Trump does is bad. So let's just stop him from doing that, not realizing that they played right into his strengths, which is like removing his weaknesses, which was steamrolling, actually helped him.
What if that was the plan? What if they set up Joe Biden?
It's all possible.
Maybe if it wasn't to protect Joe Biden, maybe it was to make him more vulnerable. It's like, maybe if we mute Trump, then he won't be as unlikable and Joe Biden will just go out there and see his way out of this race on his own.
I tweeted the video this weekend. We did a short from it, and I was saying, I kept going, I don't know nothing, and I'm not a predictive person. I'm not the person who's going to come on the show and every day about every issue tell you what's going to happen next, because I have no idea. But I will have hunches and likely be wrong. But the question was, are they setting Joe Biden up? And maybe they were setting Joe Biden up. Maybe they got exactly what they wanted out of that. Now that the game has changed, they want to make sure that snarky comment that could be perceived as sexist against Kamala Harris that might not get picked up if the microphones are muted comes out so that it hurts Donald Trump in the end. if Donald Trump, maybe Donald Trump seeming to be reserved and restricted because his was really because his microphone was off. Maybe, you know, I said this with Joe Concha at 125. I felt like his performance is one of the main catalysts for what happened to Joe Biden, because Donald Trump didn't get in the way of the Joe Biden headline that was so obvious coming out of that debate. But generally speaking, Donald Trump does even just the littlest of things that the mainstream media will seize upon and then use it to bury the Joe Biden negative story. That didn't happen that time. Was it because the microphones were off? Maybe, but I don't, like, you could watch him the whole time he was up there. He seemed very much so deferential to Joe Biden and kind of let Joe Biden be the story. Can he do that again?
He can, and I think he will do that again, because he is the one now advocating for the muting of the mics. So he realizes that that helped him focus on...
He says that he would prefer him to be on.
Oh, I saw this morning that he was saying that Kamala came out and changed the rules. Now Kamala wants him on. Kamala wants to change everything.
He did say that, and he said, honestly, I'd rather have him on also.
So, interesting, because I took what he was saying as that he was agreeing that the muting of the mics was not bad for him. So going into this, it's interesting because the media can play this two ways. They could say, well, Trump is trying to get out of the debate, which is what they're doing. Or they could go the opposite way and say, Kamala is trying to change the rules that they had agreed to, which is also true. Guess which one is the only thing you're reading, though? You're only reading that Trump is trying to get out of this debate, which I don't even really think he is. He's just trying to establish the rules.
The debate is the best arrow in his quiver. Here's
Absolutely.
Donald Trump speaking about the debate rules and their possible changes.
Do you want the microphones muted in the debate whenever you're not speaking?
We agreed to the same rules. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. I'd rather have it probably on, but the agreement was that it would be the same as it was last time. In that case, it was muted. I didn't like it the last time, but it worked out fine. I mean, ask Biden how it worked out. It was fine. And I think it should be the same. We agreed to the same rules. Same rules and same specifications. And I think that's probably what it should be. But they're trying to change it. The truth is they're trying to get out of it because she doesn't want to debate. She's not a good debater. She's not a smart person. She doesn't want to debate.
So, I mean, there you have them saying, essentially, why is it they want to keep changing the rules? They said they wanted to be this way. It was really important for them to be this way. And I said, okay, fine, we'll do it your way. And now I said that, and now they're saying, we want to do it another way. And he's like, okay, whatever, but why are we, you know? What I think is funny is Donald Trump has very, very smartly said, whatever you want. People who are out there pushing this narrative that, I mean, it, I try really hard not to let these people get under my skin because I know that they're trying to and they enjoy it when they successfully do. When people say that Kamala Harris is looking forward to Donald Trump if he's not chicken enough to back out or whatever, I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, he will Kool-Aid man his way into that, onto that stage to have a conversation with Kamala Harris. He wants nothing more than that. To the point where, excuse me, conservatives are a little nervous about him being too aggressive. It's like, easy roll, slow your roll.
To go.
Yeah, like we need a happy medium here. But it when you listen to those leftist pundits say, like, you know, if Donald Trump's not too chicken to show up, I'm like, you're just making crap up so that you can have that. You're just trying to start that little bitty snowball down the hill to see if you can make something of it. And I'm like, that dog don't hunt.
Yeah, that's what's so frustrating about reading the news this morning about that is that they're saying, lots of outlets are saying these different little angles on that, saying, yeah, well, Trump just doesn't want it. He's trying to get out of the debate. Trump wants to debate as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He keeps putting that out there, and they've only agreed to one.
Trump's trying to get out of the bait, but he also is like, hey, I agreed to Fox debate. I agreed to an ABC, an NBC. I agreed to a debate on this channel. He agreed to all these debates. Harris is the one who's like, nah, I'm just doing the ABC one.
Anytime, anywhere. And The only thing that, I mean, what do you got to tread more lightly on? The idea that you are going to debate an old, feeble man or an inarticulate.
Inartful?
No.
Oh. Okay.
No, that's Trump. An inarticulate female. I tried to say that artfully.
That was well done.
Thank you. Well, I mean, because there are challenges with both of those. We talked about it on the air. He could go on there and knock them, not literally, dead with facts and criticisms and go hard at Joe Biden. And if he looks like an old, feeble man, then that might, he'd have to, you know, curtail how he delivers those messages. And he did. Same thing with a female. He can't go up there and look like he's badgering a female to some extent, but he also can't take it easy on her. And he doesn't, it's not even in his genetics to go up there and pull a punch. He just needs to do it in an artful way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everything I've read from this morning suggests that Kamala Harris's team is trying to get as much longer opening statements, longer closing statements, basically as much scripted material into those debates
which
as possible.
Still wouldn't be scripted, but she'd have to memorize it.
There'd be more, yeah, there'd be more there to memorize and less time for actual debate. So I'm actually surprised that they don't want muted mics. If that's, I mean, who knows what's actually happening? Who's saying what about what? But I would be surprised if they wouldn't, because if they have muted mics, it gives her more of an opportunity to stand and deliver prepared lines.
Yeah, but what if she wants the zinger?
Well, Trump, that would all be written.
Trump interrupts her, and she's got a scripted line she wants to use.
See, if Trump's able to interrupt her, though, it's going to throw
her
off. She
says, excuse me, I'm talking.
It's going to throw her off more, though.
Not if she's ready for it.
Nah.
If that's the plan, she'll be prepared for that.
I'm going to go back to my tweet, my very, very deep tweet from earlier. I don't think people like her. And I think that the lack of questioning and challenge that she's been up against, I don't know any serious people who are super excited about Kamala Harris. I know people who hate Trump. Like, it's part of their being. And they're happy that Biden dropped out. And they like Kamala Harris, but they don't believe that she's going to win. And I think, I'm wondering, I mean, the three of us in here would relish Donald Trump taking her down in that debate. Not with name calling, but with fact after fact after fact. Calling her out on her bologna sausage six ways to Sunday. There is no part of me that would be like, oh gosh, you're being a little rough on her. None. No. You want equality. You want to be in the boardroom. You want to have your voice be an equal voice, if not a bigger voice, then show up and put up. Because when Kamala Harris is standing up at the podium, the reality of the rules that are set by her side of the aisle suggests that this is an equal, fair fight, and that she has the right to be there and to throw punches and to be in there with the big boys because, I mean, what are boys anyway? But the idea that she can be a part of this conversation to access the most powerful office in the world, we're supposed to believe that we should go easy on her? You want the person who gets into the presidency to have gotten there because people pulled punches? No. And if you really want to, like, girl power the whole thing, then you go in there and you take it like a man and you give it back like a woman. You do whatever you got to do. Put the gender wherever you need to put the gender, but you hold your own and you prove to the American people while you're doing it. And honestly, the world that will be watching, that this gender thing doesn't play, that everybody here is equal, that the way that the man is treating the woman, if Donald Trump were to go in there and pull punches, he would be treating her like a woman in a way that was disrespectful to her as a woman in that position. And I think that that's something that would probably be hard for postmodern feminists who can't figure out what they actually want in life because they're incredibly unhappy. Because the natural order of things, the idea that women are somehow superior to men now, and the only way for women to have equality is for men to have inferiority, and you feel the need to remind men about that every opportunity that you get. Like, you want to put a man and a woman in a boardroom or at podiums at a debate and have them be truly equal. Honestly, Kamala Harris's femininity is the thing that could win her that debate. If she leans into the thing that makes her a woman, her femininity, that could be the most strength she has at the debate. And when I say that, that doesn't mean that she acts meek. That doesn't mean she acts weak or stupid or, you know, unstudied. But she could act feminine. And if she did that, it would be embracing everything that they stand against, which is just the funniest thing of it to me. Like, the thing that she could do to go in there and really persuade people, I mean, honestly, in theory, is the thing that they hate the most, which is that she could go up there and act like a woman.
You don't think China and Iran would go easy on her for 4 years because she's a woman? You don't think, like, the power of the dollar would maybe stop sliding because she's a woman?
I don't know. I think femininity is the one thing that's brought the most powerful men to their knees and crumbled men of power more than anything else that is out there. And I just think that trying to push to talk out of both sides of your mouth where she needs to be in there and be treated like an equal because men and women are equal. And to suggest that they are equal has nothing to do with the fact that they are not the same. You could be equal and different at the same time. Your equality has nothing to do with your similarity to another person. To do that, but then what we will inevitably see if Donald Trump does take it hard to her in that debate, he's got to pay attention to the fact that he's talking to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
He just does. And the left, because they're very good at identity politics, will work to try to use that to their advantage. I cannot wait to hear somebody on MSNBC talk. They will say that Donald Trump seems to be intimidated by strong, powerful women.
Yeah, mark the tape. You know it's coming.
Yeah. Insert here. There. Mark that for the short, for later. Let's take a quick break. Do you have a strong opinion on who you think is more unlikable?
I do.
Who do you think it is?
I think it's Trump.
You think Trump is more unlikable? Brad, you?
I do. I have a strong opinion. It might surprise you.
Who?
I think it's Trump.
2-2. All right.
I tell you why, though. I got to tell you why.
When we come back, don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brian just suggested that this is what Kamala Harris should walk out to. Wouldn't it be cool if they had, like, NBA level walkout? Like, you remember Sirius, Alan Parsons Project, 90s Bulls?
Mm-hmm.
So good. Laser shows.
Isn't the song that the opponent, like, the Bulls opponent would come out to was a Pink Floyd song? It was like, it's from Dark Side of the Moon, I think. That's the only one I remember, because I don't remember the Bulls one. I just remember the other one.
I don't know. Okay. I know more about the 90s Bulls than anything else, NBA, and Alan Parsons Project Sirius was, like, iconic in the concept of entering a gymnasium.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter if it was your sixth grade basketball team.
Yeah.
Without laser shows.
Yeah.
You felt like it was for you.
I'll have to disagree with you. I don't think they should do entrance songs for debates or anything. That is Kamala's territory. They are really good at the vibes. I really would like to see them walk out and you hear every footstep, and then you hear somebody go, okay, we're going to ask you questions
it's
now.
It's like the bad lip readings.
Yeah.
I think that Trump is good at it too. Just because that's all that Kamala is good at, it makes it seem like it's a bigger deal.
Fair, fair. I concede.
The YouTube live chat poll for today is, who is more unlikable? I asked you both before the break who you thought it was. You both said Trump. Why?
Well, I tried to put myself in the footsteps of, I just said footsteps twice in two different metaphors. Ah, gosh. Get it together, Ryan.
It's Monday.
I tried to put myself into the shirt and pants of an average American. And somebody who's not paying attention to politics, who's just kind of feeling
pants.
The lay of the land with this election. You might have thoughts about who you're going to vote for already, but you're basing the way you feel about
you
a candidate.
Vote far. You said it like a
St. Louisan?
Not like an Illinois St. Louisan.
Oh, good.
But like one of the Western
I'm trying
ones.
To become an adopted Missouri resident, yeah. So I'm working on it.
Missouri.
Mm-hmm. No. Missouri right here.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just feeling what is being pushed out, Kamala is more likable. And I'm basing it on that because they're doing everything in their power to make you feel good about somebody that they did not like 3 months ago. And they're doing a good job of that because that's what they do. So right now, I'd say Trump. Now, that doesn't mean that I would, if I were sitting down with both these candidates and not voting for it and just sitting and having a sandwich with one of them, not a beer, because that's what everybody always says. I'm trying to do things differently.
Are you still wearing your pants and shirt?
I'm naked. Candidates are not. Candidates are clothed.
Ham and cheese.
Yeah. Give me whatever sandwich. I feel uncomfortable. I'm probably going to use the bread to cover my nipples.
That's what you're covering?
Yeah. So I'm not really sure how we got here, but the fact that
I ask myself that every day.
if I'm sitting with the candidates, I probably like Trump better. He seems like a more enjoyable guy to just hang out with than Kamala. But as far as the media landscape, Trump is less likable.
I agree with you. And
that's because I'm right.
And I disagree with you.
Well, no, that's stupid.
I agree with you that I think Donald Trump is more unlikable because the things that get highlighted about Trump are only ever the bad things. And everybody has bad things. And the things that Donald Trump does that most people don't like, I don't really like him either. I also don't lose sleep over it. I also don't need him to use words that make me feel good to vote for him for president because he, being the president, is in my best interest. That's an intellectual conclusion I'm capable of coming to by myself. But the way that Donald Trump is portrayed, only the unlikable things about him are put out there. And then he doesn't really work to change that perception. So he kind of doubles down on it because that's who he is. The things that people don't like about him, like if you only ever heard that someone was calling people names, but you knew nothing about what they did that was good, you probably wouldn't like that person. Now, if you got to meet them and sit down and have a naked sandwich with them.
Like you do.
No. No, I do not. You might find yourself to be like, wow, this is not at all what I thought you to be. What I disagree with you about is that Harris is more likable. I think Donald Trump is both more unlikable and more likable at the same time. I think that once people give themselves permission to consider the possibility that Donald Trump isn't Satan incarnate, and they start looking at him because the comparison is a communist on the other side in some respects, I think that people start to go, well, that was kind of funny when he did that. And you only really need to have it happen once or see Donald Trump not taking himself seriously, which he does all the time, once, or see him have a normal conversation where he's engaged and in tune to a guy like Theo Vaughn once to go, I don't know if I've been getting this right. So I think that he has higher unlikability and higher likability. And it just really matters on how much of your own research and input you're going to have and how you come to that conclusion. If you don't put a lot of effort in, if you let the mainstream media do all your thinking for you, which makes them so happy, he's way more unlikable. Kamala Harris is an NPC. as they say. She's there.
Wow, that's that is a great example of who she is. That's great.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Are you mocking me?
No, I really like that. I'm going to go have a naked sandwich. I'm feeling good. I want to sit down and have a naked
sandwich
with the
boss. Just make sure you go to Camel X when you do it. When you think about Kamala Harris and who she is, she's just whoever anybody needs her to be. And it's so obvious, they're not even trying to hide it. And when people are like, you need to answer questions, they're like, no, we don't. Mm-mm. Don't need to.
By the way, if you're hearing this and you're like, what is NPC? Non-playable character in a video game. Just to clear that up, because I know there's probably a lot of people.
So when you hear me say that, explain what you heard. Like why you.
So she's a non-playable character because she is just a placeholder person in a game. That's what an NPC is.
Scripted lines.
Yeah.
You got four options you can select from them.
You can interact with the character, but the character is just going to give you back kind of what you need.
Pre-programmed.
For the game.
To move the story along.
Yep. That's it.
Not the main character.
Yeah. So, and you know who has main character energy.
Oh, I think I do.
Gosh.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not talking about you, Ryan.
Oh.
Donald Trump.
Okay.
So I took a similar approach to this that Ryan did. I didn't look at, because if it was just me, Kamala Harris is just really unlikable. And like, not like I hate her kind of way, just like, ugh, just annoying and off-putting and that sort of thing. Strong NPC energy, not a lot of real substance to her, and just with a few quirks. And because those are fake, I don't like them. But I looked at this kind of like Ryan did, except I looked at it from other people's point of view, mainly Democrats. Nobody gets into people's heads and breaks them and makes them hate him more than Donald Trump. I've never seen anything like it. It was so much so that he got Adam Kinzinger to go to the DNC and say the only way to be conservative is to vote for the most liberal candidate in history.
God dang it. I didn't even know what he said at the. I was really proud of not knowing what he
not
said.
Even paying
I
attention.
Saw that he was there and I was like, is this the B? Is this the B? Is this not the B? He went to the DNC? God dang it.
Well, the other thing is, too, when you look at the two, only one of them has ever been shot. And you don't shoot somebody that you like.
That's a fact. This is true.
The pure
and your NPC stuff.
That sounds like something Trump would say.
Yeah. He just beat it.
It's true.
Yeah.
But the amount of pure, unadulterated dislike and, dare I say, hatred is so concentrated on the left. So I don't think as a widespread thing, but the depth of the hatred on Donald Trump just makes him the most unlikable of the two. And it's just because there's crazies out there that can't get past it.
It's funny to think about. I mean, NPC and main character stuff, that's like kid lingo. And I have kids, so I am aware of it. And I said in a volleyball huddle last week, understood the assignment. And I even was like, I even introduced the fact that I was going to say it because it was the perfect way to say what I was trying to articulate in this thing. I kind of like chuckled and was like, maybe some of you will think this is funny. And I said, they understood the assignment. And these girls were like, oh my gosh, did you hear what she just said? Like, they thought that I was a Martian from another land that came in and understood English and delivered. So I speak this enough to mostly so I can understand my children when they're talking to each other or to other people. And the NPC thing, it's like a video game thing. So if you never played video games, you wouldn't know that. But everybody can understand what main character energy is. If you think about watching a movie and you think about the likes of, you know, these huge name actors who, you know, the entire story is revolving around them. They're not the only person in the movie. There are just a bunch of other people who need to be present for the movie to progress through for this individual person.
Mm-hmm.
There has never been a bigger main character than Donald Trump in politics.
No, he might be the biggest main character almost in like the last 400 years, as far as being well known in the globe.
You could put Barack Obama up next to him. I think he has main character energy, but there's still a portion of him that really seems to reflect a pre-programmed outcome. And with Donald Trump, I don't know what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
And you have to stay tuned in and locked in. That's another one. In order to determine what's going to happen next. Because he leads. Because he thinks for himself. Going back to that comment that we played earlier from him when they said, what are you doing to prepare for the debate? He's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm prepared. My experience prepares me for this. I know the facts. I know the issues. Let's go do it right now. That's what you want. That's what you need. And you think to yourself, like, what would it be like for Kamala Harris, who has no main character energy, to be the president of the United States? It would look like Joe Biden. Joe Biden is on vacation number two, on today being the third anniversary of the Afghanistan debacle, where he checked his watch on the tarmac when their bodies were being returned to this country. I mean, it is so nauseating to think that the Democrat Party has willfully puppeted the presidency for this long. And I think they're addicted to it. I think they really love it. And I think that's why Kamala makes sense for them. I just pray to God that the country goes, we're not interested in it. We're not doing it. Let us know what you think. You go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can vote. A couple comments here from listeners. Betsy says, no respect for our military. Flip-flop to whatever she feels her audience wants to hear. No policies to date of her own, and otherwise no original thoughts, period. So I guess she's saying Harris. Chris said, Harris. No one liked her as a VP. Nothing's changed. Christopher Tyrell says, Kamala, least likable. I can't stand hypocrisy in her career is in complete contrast to her stances. Top cop falsifying evidence to get people in jail, level of prosecutor to defund police. How? Keep your comments coming. Keep your votes coming. We'll give you the results before we wrap up the show next. Don't go away. Donald Trump has garnered yet another endorsement. Waka Flocka.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
I'm still voting for Trump. Let's be clear.
Okay.
Waka Flocka. What is just? Can you sing one of his songs for me real quick?
No, I can't because I have no idea. I would if I could.
He's a rapper from Atlanta.
Okay.
That's it. That's Waka, don't say okay like I'm going to say more.
Okay, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Waka Flocka Flame?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just making sure if it's the same guy.
Man, it's the widest conversation that's ever happened on this station.
I don't know.
It's really something.
No. I don't think so. I think that if you turn it into a gardening show or something like that, maybe.
The YouTube live chat poll for today is, who is more unlikable, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris? You can go onto the Odyssey app and find 97.1 FM Talk. And when you go to click the play button next to the station, there's a microphone. And you can record a response or send us a message anytime, noon to three, on the app. But we will sometimes take some of those clips and play them, especially when you respond to the poll question like today's, who is more unlikable? Here's Eric.
For your polling today, I say that Donald Trump is less likable for one reason. We know who Donald Trump is. We know what he's about. So we are able to not like him. We cannot say that for Kamala Harris. We don't know her. You can't like somebody or dislike somebody you don't know. Come on, people.
It's true. I mean, the more you're aware of it, the more you can find the things that you like and also the things you don't like. And Kamala Harris is just meandering her way through this, I think, just trying to hold her breath until the thing is over.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be able to pull it off. It's not outside of the realm of possibility that she could win this thing.
Yeah, it's amazing that Joe Biden didn't do a lot in 2020. They call him Hiding Biden, Basement Biden, all that stuff. She's actually doing less than Biden did in 2020, which is amazing. It's a less time, so she might be able to pull it off, but she is doing less than he did. And there's no COVID.
Yeah, there's no good excuse for it. Kevin O'Leary, I really like to listen to him when he speaks because it comes from a little bit of a different angle, talked on the issue.
If in fact Harris loses, and it's 50-50. She may win, she may lose. This whole party, the Democratic Party, is going to revisit what happened here because they did the same thing with Hillary Clinton. It was assumed she would win. They anointed her. She lost. Harris is assumed a winner by anointment. If she loses, the party will never do this to itself again because they missed the opportunity to run a process and suck up another week of airtime, and they didn't do it. Now, I'm not saying she's going to lose, but I would have never let that happen if I'm selling a business. I tell my managers, never bring me one offer. Bring me a process. Show me there's no other bid out there that I want. Then I'll make a decision if I'm selling. I was amazed they didn't do that here because Newsom made reference to it. There may have been other candidates, or she could have emerged much stronger, but right. They didn't do that. That may prove to be a huge mistake.
I don't know that they're going to learn their lesson here. I think the only lesson to learn was that Joe Biden should have stuck with his initial campaign promise to not run for a second term. I really wonder if Joe Biden stepped out of line. If Joe Biden said one thing at one point and then went, you know what, I'm the president of the United States. I can run again. I can say I can run again if I want to. How long has he not been in lockstep with the Democrat Party? And how much of Joe Biden's presidency has been behind the scenes tug and pull within the Democrat Party and the people who lead it? Because it's just like it went way too long. As everybody who listens to the show regularly knows, I've said forever that he's not going to be the candidate. But it was getting to the point where it's like, it looks like he could potentially be the candidate. Maybe I'm going to be wrong on this. But they waited so long to do it that I feel like this couldn't have been what they wanted to happen. This couldn't have been how they wanted it to happen. What is the actual, where is the danger in running a primary and letting the Democrat candidates go about the business the same way the Republicans do? And if Kamala Harris is the heir apparent to the nomination, it would have gone a lot like the Republicans did, where you had honest conversations about policy. You pit different Democrats up against one another to talk about the nuances and the differences and how you would manage these different policies. But the people naturally would go state to state to state to state, regardless of Kamala Harris's participation in it as the vice president. If she felt like it was beneath her to do that, she could have sat out. Trump did. And if she's still who the people wanted, they'd have voted for her. You really have to ask yourself, what did the Democrat apparatus feel was threatened if they didn't get to handpick the person?
Yeah, and Joe Concha said this earlier, that clip from Kevin O'Leary just said it. When you go through that process, it makes them stronger. Joe Concha said specifically that Tulsi Gabbard had won more delegates for the Democrats than Kamala Harris has. That's true. And that was when Kamala Harris was running, not just as vice president. It inspired me to look up this year who won more Democrat delegates than Kamala Harris this year. Dean Phillips?
Mm-hmm.
Jason Palmer?
He's the guy in
Samoa.
American Samoa.
Oh, is that? I couldn't figure out who.
Yes.
Who is this guy?
Yes. Joe Biden didn't win that one, right? Didn't
right.
He,
right.
Jason Palmer?
Yeah, he won it.
Yeah, Joe Biden's the other one. And then this one's still ahead of Kamala Harris, uncommitted. Uncommitted had quite a few delegates.
Yeah, literally so, anybody.
Yes, and she was not one of them. Yet she got anointed and put up and told to the Democrats, this is who you get. This is who you're voting for. We know we didn't have a process for this, but this is who you get.
Scoot says, Mrs. F. said many times that Michelle Obama would be at the top of the Democrats' ticket. And after the DNC last week, I thank God they didn't make that move.
No kidding.
Oh, man, I'm so glad they chose. To his point, yes, I was wrong. Thank God. Good choice.
I was wrong, too. I said Biden, and the later it got, the more confident I became in that choice, and still they did it.
Real quick, before I read the poll results as to who is more unlikable, Trump or Harris, you guys think that the Tulsi Gabbard endorsement really moves the needle at all, or was that kind of a foregone conclusion?
Well, in the shadow of RFK, I think it matters. I don't know that it moves a whole lot, but it can't hurt.
I think it was already baked in.
Yeah, the only way that it would matter is, like Ryan said, is that if it's just an extra snowflake on the snowball, and I hope to see more people glob onto that as well. Our Annie Fry YouTube poll for today, 319 votes. Who is more unlikable? 81% of y'all said Harris. And okay. I didn't tell you who I would think yet definitively, but we were 3-for-3 Trump in here.
Okay.
I think Donald Trump is more unlikable, but I think the converse, he's also more likable. Kamala Harris, she's just there. Hopefully not for long, though. Let's fix that. Stick around. Mark Reardon, next. This is huge. Donald Trump has garnered yet another endorsement. Waka Flocka.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
I'm still voting for Trump. Let's be clear.
Okay.
Waka Flocka. What is just? Can you sing one of his songs for me real quick?
No, I can't because I have no idea. I would if I could.
He's a rapper from Atlanta.
Okay.
That's it. That's Waka, don't say okay like I'm going to say more.
Okay, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Waka Flocka Flame?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just making sure if it's the same guy.
Man, it's the widest conversation that's ever happened on this station.
I don't know.
It's really something.
No. I don't think so. I think that if you could turn it into a gardening show or something like that, maybe.
The YouTube live chat poll for today is, who is more unlikable, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris? You can go onto the Odyssey app and find 97.1 FM Talk. And when you go to click the play button next to the station, there's a microphone. And you can record a response or send us a message anytime, noon to 3, on the app. But we will sometimes take some of those clips and play them, especially when you respond to the poll question like today is, who is more unlikable? Here's Eric.
For your polling today, I say that Donald Trump is less likable for one reason. We know who Donald Trump is. We know what he's about. So we are able to not like him. We cannot say that for Kamala Harris. We don't know her. You can't like somebody or dislike somebody you don't know. Come on, people.
It's true. I mean, the more you're aware of it, the more you can find the things that you like and also the things you don't like. And Kamala Harris is just meandering her way through this, I think just trying to hold her breath until the thing is over.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be able to pull it off. It's not outside of the realm of possibility that she could win this thing.
Yeah, it's amazing that Joe Biden didn't do a lot in 2020. They call him Hiding Biden, Basement Biden, all that stuff. She's actually doing less than Biden did in 2020, which is amazing. It's a less time, so she might be able to pull it off, but she is doing less than he did. And there's no COVID.
Yeah, there's no good excuse for it. Kevin O'Leary, I really like to listen to him when he speaks because it comes from a little bit of a different angle, talked on the issue.
If in fact Harris loses, and it's 50-50. She may win, she may lose. This whole party, the Democratic Party, is going to revisit what happened here because they did the same thing with Hillary Clinton. It was assumed she would win. They anointed her. She lost. Harris is assumed a winner by anointment. If she loses, the party will never do this to itself again because they missed the opportunity to run a process and suck up another week of airtime. And they didn't do it. Now, I'm not saying she's going to lose, but I would have never let that happen if I'm selling a business. I tell my managers, never bring me one offer. Bring me a process. Show me there's no other bid out there that I want. Then I'll make a decision if I'm selling. I was amazed they didn't do that here because Newsom made reference to it. There may have been other candidates, or she could have emerged much stronger. But right. They didn't do that. That may prove to be a huge mistake.
I don't know that the Democrat Party, I don't know that they're going to learn their lesson here. I think the only lesson to learn was that Joe Biden should have stuck with his initial campaign promise to not run for a second term. I really wonder if Joe Biden stepped out of line. If Joe Biden said one thing at one point and then went, you know what, I'm the president of the United States. I can run again. I can say I can run again if I want to. How long has he not been in lockstep with the Democrat Party? And how much of Joe Biden's presidency has been behind the scenes tug and pull within the Democrat Party and the people who lead it? because it's just like it went way too long. I, as everybody who listens to the show regularly knows, I've said forever that he's not going to be the candidate. But it was getting to the point where it's like, it looks like he could potentially be the candidate. Maybe I'm going to be wrong on this. But they waited so long to do it that I feel like this couldn't have been what they wanted to happen. This couldn't have been how they wanted it to happen. What is the actual, where is the danger in running a primary and letting the Democrat candidates go about the business the same way the Republicans do? And if Kamala Harris is the heir apparent to the nomination, it would have gone a lot like the Republicans did, where you had honest conversations about policy. You pit different Democrats up against one another to talk about the nuances and the differences and how you would manage these different policies. But the people naturally would go state to state to state to state, regardless of Kamala Harris's participation in it as the vice president. If she felt like it was beneath her to do that, she could have sat out. Trump did. And if she's still who the people wanted, they'd have voted for her. You really have to ask yourself, what did the Democrat apparatus feel was threatened if they didn't get to handpick the person?
Yeah, and Joe Concha said this earlier, that clip from Kevin O'Leary just said it. When you go through that process, it makes them stronger. Joe Concha said specifically that Tulsi Gabbard had won more delegates for the Democrats than Kamala Harris has. That's true. And that was when Kamala Harris was running, not just as vice president. It inspired me to look up this year who won more Democrat delegates than Kamala Harris this year. Dean Phillips?
Mm-hmm.
Jason Palmer?
He's the guy in
Samoa.
American Samoa.
Oh, is that? I couldn't figure out who is this guy?
Yes. Joe Biden didn't win that one, right? Didn't
right, he, right.
Jason Palmer?
Yeah, he won it.
Yeah, Joe Biden's the other one. And then this one's still ahead of Kamala Harris, uncommitted. Uncommitted had quite a few delegates.
Yeah, literally so, anybody.
Yes, and she was not one of them. Yet she got anointed and put up and told to the Democrats, this is who you get. This is who you're voting for. We know we didn't have a process for this, but this is who you get.
Scoot says, Mrs. F. said many times that Michelle Obama would be at the top of the Democrats' ticket. And after the DNC last week, I thank God they didn't make that move.
No kidding.
Oh, man. I'm so glad they chose. To his point, yes, I was wrong. Thank God. Good choice.
I was wrong, too. I said Biden. And the later it got, the more confident I became in that choice. And still they did it.
Real quick before I read the poll results as to who is more unlikable, Trump or Harris, you guys think that the Tulsi Gabbard endorsement really moves the needle at all, or was that kind of a foregone conclusion?
Well, in the shadow of RFK, I think it matters. I don't know that it moves a whole lot, but it can't hurt.
I think it was already baked in.
Yeah, I the only way that it would matter is, like Ryan said, is that if it's just an extra snowflake on the snowball, and I hope to see more people glab onto that as well. Our Annie Fry YouTube poll for today, 319 votes. Who is more unlikable? 81% of y'all said Harris. And okay, I didn't tell you who I would think yet definitively, but we were 3-for-3 Trump in here.
Okay.
I think Donald Trump is more unlikable, but I think the converse, he's also more likable. Kamala Harris, she's just there. Hopefully not for long, though. Let's fix that. Stick around. Mark Reardon, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.